A blonde and a brunette walk into a bar, a room, to talk about Jesus, exploring God's word, tackling topics no one likes talking about, discussing biblical truths, and dodging bad theology on the way. This is Her Theology. All right, hello, and welcome to another episode here with Her Theology. My name is Cassie, and I am absolutely blessed today to have Anne here with me. Anne is from Tamworth. I'm here sitting in Tamworth at my parents' house, actually. And my mum has introduced me to Anne because she has an incredible testimony that I know is going to absolutely bless everyone that's listening. So, Anne, thank you for coming on. And we are really excited to hear what you have to say. Now, for those of you new to Her Theology, we are a podcast that is all about sharing the Word of God, getting you excited to get into the Word of God and reading Scripture, hopefully, even more, but also discipling one another and just maturing in our faith. So we kind of address all variety topics and things. And so we're going to focus today on singleness and what that looks like to be living out a life serving the Lord and being content in singleness, but all the challenges and the joys and the struggles and the fun times, everything that comes along with that amazing journey. So Anne's going to share her story, and I really hope it's a blessing for you all. So might as well get stuck straight in. Anne, thank you for coming on. And do you want to introduce yourself a little bit and give us a bit of a rundown of who you are?
I've lived about 82 years, so I'll have to condense it.
Nice.
But I guess I grew up in a Christian family, and I trusted Jesus as my Saviour when I was nearly eight, and that was because of a very faithful Sunday school teacher who explained that we'd all done wrong things and Jesus had died to take away our sins. And I remember very clearly that night when I got into bed that I said sorry and I wanted him to be my Saviour, and he did. Of course, I grew an understanding as time went on, but I remember the next sort of Christian highlight or a guidepost in a way was at a camp when I was 12, and there was a the speaker asked if, I guess it was an invitation really for us to give our whole lives to Jesus and do whatever he wanted us to do. And if it meant being a missionary, we'd say yes to that. So I put up my hand and said that's what I wanted to do. And I kept that in mind, I guess, as I went through school and I decided nursing was a good idea because then I could use that if God ever called me to be a missionary. So
already at 12 you were thinking like that.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And I can't remember who we went to visit in a hospital when I was somewhere around that age. And as I saw all the nurses and just had the atmosphere around me of the hospital, I thought, oh, I'd love to do this. So
nice.
Yeah. And so the next obvious step after doing my general nursing and my MIDI was Bible college. I had a bit of a struggle at that point because I had a friendship with a guy that I'd known since I'd been in school, and I struggled a little bit. What should I do next? Anyway, into my hands came a little paper, and it said, you're not responsible for the generations that are past, nor will you be responsible for the generations to come. But in your generation right now, you are responsible for doing what you can to take the gospel. And I thought, oh, right. Okay, Lord. Well, I'll apply to Bible college. So I went to what was then MBI in Melbourne.
Okay.
It's now called MST, which is
what denomination is it?
It's interdenominational.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like a missionary, kind of like SMBC in
yes,
Sydney?
Yes, just similar to SMBC.
Okay, yep.
And so I was there for 2 years, and I then applied to SIM because
what's SIM?
They had lots of nursing opportunities. But while I'd been in college, I had been challenged very much by the Muslim world.
Okay.
And the needs there.
Yep.
And I thought I would really like to use my nursing in that context.
Mm.
And so I was duly appointed to Somalia, and then various things happened, like there was a communist takeover and
So you were there for the middle of all that?
Yes, that's – I mean, I could fill in lots of stories here, but I'll just – this is an overview.
I know. I'm going to have to get you on for all the other intricate details.
So then we had to move – we had to leave Somalia as a mission, and SAM had work in Ethiopia, and so I was assigned to a big hospital there in one of the provinces. And then, of course, communism was on the up and up in Ethiopia. And Colonel Mengistu was the he was heading up the communist regime there, and so it became very, very difficult for us to remain there. And meantime, there had been a raid by Somali guerrillas on our station. Now, God's mercy and kindness to me, I was on holidays. I'd gone up on a conference.
You were spared all that,
and I was spared what some of our other folks had to go through. Praise. I can never thank the Lord enough for what he saved me from in that.
Yep.
But then I went to Kenya for the final 5 or 6 years, and then I came home to help care for my parents because my mum was clinically blind.
Okay.
And my dad was not going to leave the farm. So.
Okay. Yep.
So that's where I spent the next 15 years, basically, caring for my parents and others. And I taught scripture in school, and I worked in my local church doing various things, missionary committee and so on, and joined prison fellowship and, so a little bit with Scripture Union. And then 2 years ago I married, so...
I just love it. That's the best part of this story is that when you don't expect it.
It was such a surprise to me.
Because surely you would have thought that ship sailed, right?
Oh, long, long before.
That's incredible. And so how long were you overseas in Africa for?
Almost 19 years.
19 years.
Wow. I mean, I had a year at home every 4 years. But
okay, yeah. Mm. But in total, wow.
Yeah.
And... I mean, there's so many questions I would have about your journey, but like you said, stay the course. We're focusing on a particular topic. So I know, I mean, you're on the mission field, sure, but you said, you know, you did see were you dating a guy when you were younger before you went
out? Yes, before I went out,
Yeah.
And there was another guy that I was, we had Yeah, we'd been friends for a long time, but just we wrote because we weren't in the same place.
Yeah, okay.
And then he got called to New Guinea, and I felt I was called into Muslim work.
Yeah,
and so
okay, just parted.
So
did you feel like you'd resigned yourself to being single when you were younger, like when you decided to go on mission? Was it like a conscious decision for you, or just kind of played out that way?
Well, I can remember where I was the day after I told this second guy that I was going to Africa. Like he'd come down from Sydney to Melbourne, and I remember the next day I was sitting, I remember exactly where I was sitting, and the reality sort of hit me. I was 26. Lot of my friends were married by then. I thought, well, that might be my last chance. You know, I may not ever have another opportunity to be married. And, so I faced it then that possibly I would not marry. But I felt content in that I felt quite at peace that was where the Lord was leading me, and that I was free to follow him
And so I know you're saying you feel content and everything, but I'm sure there was still challenges that came with that, right? moments of...
Yeah, and it didn't happen. Like, I made that when I was 26, that was one time.
Yes.
But then there were other times through my life when I had to sort of revisit that whole thing with the Lord, because I always thought, well, you know, might marry one day. You never know.
Yeah, you might find someone in the field. You don't know where you... Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, so I sort of... it wasn't just a one time. And I never felt I'm called to be single, you know.
Yes.
I have a gift of singleness. No, no, no.
Okay.
I never did think that.
Okay. That's good to know and good to clarify. Because I always think that with some people, because I have heard of that occasionally with people that they feel this gift of singleness. I'm like, it has to be a supernatural thing, right?
I think so.
Like, it's definitely God preparing someone's heart for that if that's the case.
Absolutely.
So before we get stuck into maybe what some of the hurdles that you overcame or maybe some of your wisdom on that, maybe you could share with us what were some of like the joyful and the great benefits of being single?
It does allow you a lot of independence.
Oh, preach. Yep.
I mean, you're not answerable to another person. You don't have to consider and consult and pray together and then agree, which I think is a wonderful thing to do in marriage. But you just consult with the Lord and then you do what you think He is leading you to.
Yeah, yeah. There's nothing slowing you down.
And there's time. Like, there's time to give to the Lord's work and to others. And I must say, it was very fulfilling to be a nurse in the places I worked in Africa. If I'd been married and had children, there's no way that I could have done what I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just really great to have time and like time alone with the Lord in the Word and prayer. There's more time. If you're a mum busy with children.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Anne's looking at me, I'm like, yes, preach.
It's not so easy to find that time.
No, it's actually, it is the, I will be honest, it's something is jealous the right word? I don't know, but I'm very jealous of my single friends sometimes. I'm like, you can sit there for hours and not be interrupted every 5 seconds. Mm. It's actually a huge blessing that you don't realise until it's gone.
Mm. Mm. That's right. And I formed some great friendships in those years in Africa, mostly, well, with other singles, of course, and those friendships that I formed then, they were very valuable then, but they've gone on. They still some exist. Of my best friends, and it's just such a lovely thing.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great. And did you find you were able to be friends with men? Like, did you have a lot of close male friends, or was it predominantly female?
Predominantly female.
Yeah.
I mean, the men on the field were few, and the single men were few and far between. for instance, when I joined SIM, I think a friend told me the other day, there were 240 single ladies in SIM and 8 single men.
Oh, you're joking. Which is every single man's dream, okay? I should clarify, what does SIM stand for?
Oh, it's Serving in Mission.
Serving
now,
in Mission.
And they still do Sudan it now? It was Sudan Interior Mission, but Serving in Mission. Yeah, okay. They're still a very active mission organisation, interdenominational organisation.
And I should also clarify, because you said MIDI before, just in case people are wondering what that was.
Midwifery. Yes.
So you did general nursing and midwifery.
Did.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
There was one other thing that I think is a very important thing as a single person, and this was particularly since I've been home as a single person. You can offer hospitality. And I have been able to give a home to a number of young women in need in particular different ways, sometimes for months at a time. One girl was with me for nearly 2 years.
Yeah, so you just opened your house.
Yeah, and that was a wonderful, it was great for me, and I believe it was a help to them.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
no, that's great.
Yeah.
So I think we've already talked about through some of these questions, but This was my one of my friends is single. She's in her 30s, and she really wanted to ask you this question. So just in case people are wondering for context, I actually put it out to a few friends and also to our listeners to see if they had any specific questions for you. So a lot of these questions that we're going to go through are from people that are in this season. But it says, she said, God promises to delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you all the desires of your heart. But she's saying it doesn't always magically translate into a husband or family. Even though the desire might be there, it doesn't actually seem to be happening. So, but we know it's still a desire. Like you said, it's not, she doesn't feel like she's got that gift of singleness like we were talking about. So I guess she was saying, how do you reconcile that, but while also staying encouraged and content in the singleness? And I guess that would include, how do you overcome some of those hurdles?
Yeah, well, there's also another verse in Psalm 84 and 12 which says, no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And a single friend of mine said that at one point she said to the Lord, wouldn't a husband be a good thing for me? And she said the answer came back. She said, I don't know if it was the Lord, but it came in, popped into my head. Well, maybe it would be a good thing for you, but what about him?
Oh, I love that.
And I must say, I have thought, well, maybe God, who knows everything and sees everything, might have seen that I would have really struggled with a husband when I was young and had children, because he knows best. And maybe he understood that really I could do more for him and the kingdom as a single person. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so I guess although I thought maybe one day I might be married, there are some things that came to me as a young person that I never forgot. They made a big impression. One of them was the Bible's warning against an unequal yoke. And I have seen some girls think, well, you know, maybe he'll become a Christian later. I'll just go into it and surely, yes, the Lord must want this. I feel it's right and he will come to the Lord later.
Flirt to convert is a saying that goes with that sometimes, yep.
But it's not necessarily so.
No.
And in the small village where I grew up in our church, we had a few women who were married to non-Christians. And I saw, even as a child, like you hear things. You're not supposed to hear these adult conversations. And often when people come to visit, you know, they said, no, you run outside and play.
And you're like, sure.
But I got an idea and I just saw things and understood that they went through some really, really tough times. And I didn't want that for myself.
Yeah.
Another curious thing is I look back because my mother was married in 1933.
Okay.
Now, how much did women's lib
do
then? But my mother told me one time that she chose not to have the word obey in the marriage vow.
Okay.
And I thought about that and I thought, I don't want to marry anybody if I can't say I will love and obey. That cuts down the field considerably.
It really does. You need a man then that really loves the Lord.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Another quote I remember was, it's better to be single than to wish you were.
Yes.
And I have
Powerful, yes.
I've seen quite a few
women
who have struggled in their marriages. Like when I was young particularly, because divorce wasn't common back then. It was much less common than now.
Mm-hmm.
And, So these things were sort of in my mind.
But I remember when I was turning 40. I'm probably getting off the subject.
No, no, this is good.
That was a hard one. I was in a hospital in Kenya,
mm-hmm.
and there were quite a few single girls there. We had some good times. We've been on holidays a few times together and so on. And then the mission had said to me, look, we'd like you to go and take the place of the nurse up in this very remote, distant area. You'll be the nurse. There's a couple there, doctor and his wife. It was going into an area of the language I had not been familiar with at all. And I can remember saying to the Lord, I know you're enough, but really I'd just like a person of flesh with me.
Yes. Which is, and that's what I want to acknowledge, that it's a real thing. It's not a bad thing to want that.
No. It's natural.
No, that's right.
Especially going into new situations lonely situations. Now, I had a great time there. The doctor and his wife were just lovely people, and they included me in everything.
Part of the family.
But it was only for like 6 or 7 months, I think, and it wasn't forever. But it was a little bit of a lonely time because I was out of my language area, that I could communicate with and so on. But the Lord showed me through those times when I really faced the fact again that I was going to be single and have no children of my own, that I could be a mum to other people's children in a way.
Yeah.
And to my niece and my nephews after I came home. And that he would really help me to find fulfillment in the job that he had given me to do.
Mm.
And that's what I found that he did.
Yeah, okay. So he really got your heart on the passion for where it was ahead. Yeah.
But yes, the desires of our heart, I think there's another place in the scripture, and actually I saw it yesterday, and it's in John, and it talks about how when we're joined to the vine, then we can pray what we will, which is going to be what he wills. Those prayers will be answered.
Yes.
So if God's will for me is marriage, well, then he's going to bring that person along in his time.
And I think that's when you're talking about that proverb as well, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. We often think of that verse and we say it all, but we really don't focus on the whole do not lean on our own understanding. And understanding is our own timing and thinking we know best for timing. And I know that's easy for me to say because I'm not in that season, but that is a reality for us regardless of what we're going through, is that not leaning on our own understanding.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And the wisdom of the world is not, you know, the wisdom of man is not God's, is it?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. That's really... did you have any other scriptures that really helped you through? I'm jumping all over the place, sorry. Anne's got pages of notes here, which is incredible. I'm probably stuffing it all up for her.
I must say that marriage for me wasn't a priority. I can't ever remember praying for the Lord to give me a husband. I mean, I can remember asking, Lord, if there is someone out there, you know, you could bring someone to be my husband if that's your will. But
yes,
it was nothing more than that. But, I mean, doing God's will, as I understood it, that to me was a priority, not marriage.
Mm. And that seems to have sunk in at a very young age for you as well.
Yeah. So it began when I was quite young. So I think Matthew 6 and 33 where it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, I know it's a different context, but surely it includes these natural things like husbands and wives and children. Yeah. So all these things will be added to you if you seek first his kingdom.
Mm. Yeah.
And him.
And I think that's, I really love everything you've said about that because even the being unequally yoked, like seeking God first and not trying to make it work in your own timing and in your own wisdom and being unequally yoked. It's a really important thing that anyone struggling in this season right now hears the warning in that. Don't be yoked with an unbeliever, because it don't get me wrong, sometimes you're married, you're both unbelievers and one of you becomes a Christian and that's a very different situation, but willingly going in and
And sometimes God does bring the other person to the Lord. That happens.
It does.
It doesn't necessarily. And I just think if you're not on the same, you know, if you're not unified in spirit, how can two walk together unless they are agreed, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Spiritually is the most important area.
It is.
Where we need to be agreed.
Yes, it is.
Truly.
It is. And I can vouch for my, like, seeing that in my friends' lives as well when they've ended up with non-believers. And it's tough. It's really tough. There's a serious reason why God puts that warning in Scripture. Mm. And it's us having to push through those doubts and fears and challenges and learning to be content with where He has us.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm.
I might say too, when I was in Somalia, and that was my first country, and of course I turned 27 on the ship going out, but there were some other young women in a sister mission.
Yep.
And three of those girls actually married Somali young men.
Oh, okay.
And totally different cultures. I can't remember at this point whether any of them were professing Christians. They may have been, but the culture took them in a different direction.
Yeah.
And at least I think one of their marriages may have survived when they went back to the States, but the others didn't. And I think marriage has its own challenges.
Yeah.
And if you're going to go cross-cultural,
that's another complexity.
That's got that adds another layer.
Yep.
And
And that's where it is so unique, because when you share the same faith, that goes beyond any that's the one thing that will anchor your marriage. Mm. It's the one thing that you can connect on, regardless of cultural backgrounds, regardless of messed up families, regardless of any of the situation. Your faith is the one thing that keeps on bringing you back to that point. Mm. I know for my husband and I, like I'm sure for Barry and you now, it's the one thing that is, we can always agree on that. It's the one 100%. Thing we can come back to.
Yeah.
And we love it. We love it when we can pray together, when we can talk about theology, we can tease out things and try and figure it out. That is the one thing that I am so thankful for in my marriage, that I have a man that is Christian.
Mm.
And I read an article actually the other day, just stumbled upon it. It was a really lengthy one. It was quite interesting. It was on Matthias Media. Thank you. I was like, is it Matthias? Matthias. It's like Matthew, isn't it? I should just say that. Matthias Media. And it's from, and it's from an anonymous writer. And it was just this woman pleading for single women to not give up and to continue waiting and not be yoked with an unbeliever, because she was an unbeliever, married, like they weren't Christian, and she's become a Christian, and so now she's going through that, which has a new set of challenges. And she was just talking about the reality of what it's like to be married to an unbeliever, and she's like, he's a nice guy, it's not a mean person or anything, but she's just really real and raw. I'll actually tag it in the episode notes for anyone that wants to read it. But that was a really beautiful warning as well, from a different perspective, which I thought was good. So stay the course, ladies, stay the course. So this isn't a question that I had on my list for you, but I will ask this. How did you, and I'm sorry, I'm going to put you on the spot. How did you go with, like you're saying, when you turned 40, that was a bit of a challenging time. I guess there would have been moments as well for you, you know, realizing not having children. How did you, I know you're talking about being a mum to, you know, other people's kids and your niece and nephew, but how did you go, what was some of those moments like for you? And I guess how did you kind of get through those times?
I guess I didn't think a lot about children, because you need the husband first.
Yeah, that's true.
So in a way, children were hypothetical.
you know, yes. until the husband was there and he wasn't, and he didn't seem like he was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
When I first went out, there was one lady I met in Ethiopia, and she had adopted two Ethiopian children.
Oh, beautiful.
And later on, the mission made a ruling that single women should not adopt.
Okay.
There were two points in my time where I could have adopted.
Okay.
Well, if it had been allowed.
Yeah.
One was a mother, she'd had TB and died, and but she had this little preemie baby before she died, and we cared for that baby in the hospital for something like 6 months, and
oh
she
my gosh,
just
that's just your child, isn't it?
She
then?
Was just gorgeous.
Oh.
And the father would come and visit, you know, every few months he would come and visit. And then he came and said, you know, I'm taking her.
Oh, that would have ripped your heart out.
And, yeah, I mean, what was he going to give her? Camel's milk and unboiled and, you know, he lived in the bush. So, yeah, we heard later that she got diarrhea and died. So that was really sad.
Oh, Anne. Oh,
and then the other one was this little baby. She was about 8 months, I suppose, nine months. She was blind in one eye. The family said, "Oh, well, she's the daughter of a prostitute. You know, she's nothing,
no worth."
Oh,
yeah.
Well, she just got poked in the eye with a stick. You know, when the kids were playing, and they said, "If you want her, you can have her."
Mm.
And I thought, oh, you know, but I mean. There was the ruling by that stage. I knew I couldn't.
You couldn't, yeah.
And then I thought, really, God plans for a child to have a mum and a dad.
Mm.
And I was only a mum. I would only be a mum. I couldn't be a dad as well. Now, I know there are different situations.
Totally, yeah.
And all sorts of things where single people bring up children and it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
And kids have their own mum.
Yeah.
And I've seen some lovely families in that way. But for me, that wasn't a way to go. Even fostering, when I came back to Australia, that wasn't an option because of that reason.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And that's, and I think it's important you stay with your convictions as well on that. And I agree, there is a beauty in the family unit of when it can be done that way.
Totally.
There is a significant benefit and blessing for those involved. So, gosh, I admire your heart to be on the field when you hear those sort of heartbreaking stories. I imagine you would have had plenty of those sort of stories having 19 years on the field.
Lots of stories.
I think we need to do another episode where we talk about how does God care for people's heart and how does God bring you through that? Oh, my goodness. So one of the other questions here, often people say you need to just pray more or read more or serve more. But this person was saying the nights are lonely and the seasons feel long. Any practical tips on following on from that?
Well, I always felt God would bring the person into my life and I would know he was the one. Meantime, I could forget about it.
Okay.
Just get on with what he'd given me to do. Especially as there was no one in sight. I mean, I kept busy and I kept on doing what was given me to do. And just being available, when I came back to Australia, being available to my family, I cared for my mum and dad for 15 years and an auntie and her husband had Alzheimer's. So, and they had no children, so they were very much a part of my responsibility. And then my sister and her family, there was some mental illness there and I filled in heaps and heaps of gaps. So really and truly, God knows best how and what he will use to conform us to the image of his son. That's his will for each one of us, whether we're married or single. And he has a different way to bring that about for each of us, depending on our temperament, our life experiences, including singleness. And how he works is particularly tailored for us, each one as individuals. I've always loved reading, gardening, cooking. I suppose I'm very domesticated in lots of ways. So I've always had lots of things on the go.
Kept yourself busy.
I think busyness, being busy in the things that you believe God wants you to do is well, I've found that a key. I don't know whether that's helpful or not, but
that's been my experience. And I think it's like, I think also the tough seasons are where your faith is kind of
absolutely
refined and strengthened.
And that's so true.
Yeah. So like there's going to be lonely moments and God's going to use that, right? We were talking about this before and you're saying, you're not sure how to answer this question, but if it's a desire to be married, how much energy should we be putting into pursuing that?
Yeah, look, I think some of these, I'm not sure that I'm really, because I know for some people it is a real problem. It's a real desire to be married. So it's not an easy one for me to answer. And I'm sure that praying about it is absolutely key.
Totally.
But as for pursuing it, is that the part of the question? To pursue
how much should you pursue it?
Like, I'm not sure how you do that. I always felt that, you know, I wanted the knight in shining armour to come and sweep me off my feet.
Well, he did, didn't he, later on?
But I think there could be a danger if the desire to be married becomes an obsession or an overwhelming desire. I think it has to be kept in perspective. I think if it becomes something that's really overwhelming, then you might be tempted to make a hasty or inappropriate choice.
Yeah.
That I think would be the danger.
Yeah. And so pursuing it can look like, would you recommend people maybe getting out there though? Like, do you think it's, this is something I debate with my friends sometimes. Do you think it's wise to just keep on going mission and God will bring him along? Or do you think it's okay to go out and do, I mean, in today's society now, online dating or go to various events with the intention to meet other people?
Well, if you're comfortable with that and you feel that that's what you'd like to do, I think, yeah, maybe that's a way to go. Or I think they do have Christian single camps or outings in some places.
Like you said, if as long as it's not doing it for the wrong motivation, right, it's the heart behind it.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's right.
Is it an idol in your life?
That's right. If it becomes like an idol, then it's got to go. I think so.
I like that.
Jesus had to be first.
Yeah. talk about that actually, because I think some people think, oh, you know, a lot of Christians say we need to be in the scripture and, you know, Christ needs to be our all in all. But I mean, you're someone that at the age of 8 became a believer and has been on that journey since. And you're now
82.
And I can very much see it in your face. I can see it in the way you talk. I can see it in the way your life has played out, that Christ is your all. So maybe what is that like for you? Who is Jesus to you? And what's that relationship like to you?
He is the most important one in my life. I used to think, if I fell in love, that must be very hard, because Jesus said, you know, this is by a comparison.
Yes.
You know, hate your mother and father and so on. And I thought, what if I love my husband too much? But I'm just so pleased that even though I'm married now, Jesus is still first.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Great.
I guess because he has been so important all through my life and he still is. So that's good.
I think that's a beautiful, actually, that kind of maybe highlights the beautiful blessing of being singleness, because Christ is the one that you rely on the most. You're not falling into the trap of relying on someone else.
Yeah, because it could be a real trap. And I've seen some people who became widows
late in life, and they're lost.
They
don't know how to. Some of them don't even drive and things like that. You know, it's really, really hard.
Yeah.
They don't know who they are. Yes, you could be very dependent on your husband.
So tell me, you met Barry. How did you and Barry get, like, how did this happen? How did you get married at 80? I must know.
I used to say to the Lord, look, I'm really, I love cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of big responsibilities anymore for family. And, Lord, is there someone out there that needs somebody to look after them? That'd be ideal at this stage, a widower probably, with children, grandchildren, whatever. And anyway, nothing happened for a few years. But then Barry was a man, he and his wife were a lovely couple at our church. His wife was just beautiful.
Yeah.
And anyway, she had cancer and she passed away. Now, that would have been a couple of years before Barry and I started going out together. But he was alone, and he'd been married for 56 years. I mean, he really, what should I say? Well, he needed someone, really.
Well, that's what we're just talking about, hey, when someone becomes a widower or a widower.
Anyway, so he asked me out. And I thought, what in the world does he mean by asking me out? Is this something serious, or, you know, like, it was so major. Because I hadn't had a date with a guy for probably at least 40 years.
Were you nervous and everything then?
Well, I knew him. You know, we'd been in the same prayer meeting, and we'd been in the same church.
Friends. Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't bad at all, except that I was thinking, oh, no, you know, I don't want this to be a serious sort of thing. And for 2 days, my sister was living with me at the time. We're very close, but I couldn't bring myself to tell her. I thought, that's ridiculous. Anyway, so that was the beginning. We did go out, and then he helped. I had a property, a rental property that needed attention, and he's a carpenter.
Okay.
So he came and helped on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it sort of grew from there.
Yeah. That's great. So how long were you dating for?
The first date was in December. And then that must have been 2018. And then in 2019 we married in October.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
We got engaged in June. Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's just the best. I love this story of serving the Lord and being, sure, it had struggles, but being content and just seeing how God uses you. And then right at the end, when I'm sure you didn't expect it.
I was so – and then you think, I'm incredible. Too old. I can't do this. This is – you know, this doesn't happen. But the funny thing was – In the April, Barry had a friend, John, and they were part of the Probus Club. And there was a John was also a widower, and he and Barry had to, whenever they went on trips, they put them together because they were two single men. Anyway, Barry rang and he said, "Look, there's a bus trip up to Moree. Would you be interested in going?" And I said, "Oh." This is about 4 months after we'd start going out. I don't know. Moree. Oh, there's the hot bars at Moree. What else is there? Anyway, I said to my sister, would you be interested in going to Moree? Oh, she said, I've never been there. Yeah, that sounds fun. Because there were trips out to other places from there. That was the base. And then they were having trips out each day for a week. And so I said, oh, well, if you'd like to go, well, I'll say yes. So we said yes. And the first day, John sat with Barry. No, he sat with another lady. That's right. I think he'd – anyway, the long and the short of it was that by the second day he sat with my sister.
No.
So they got engaged before we did, and we had a double wedding.
Get out of town. Did you really?
We had a double wedding.
That is incredible.
I was 80. Barry was 85. John was 82 or 81. 81, I think. And my sister Marg was 78.
That is incredible. That is crazy. So did you – was your sister – had been married before?
Yes, she had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. So you got married on the same day?
We did.
Same place? Same everything?
Yeah, same. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
And she and John had their minister, and Barry and I had our minister, and we had a – oh, it was just the best. It was just a lovely day. And the church was so excited, and, you know,
I'm excited.
Got right behind us. And
totally.
And, of course, it was a problem knowing what to do with invitations because there's all your families, but four different sets of family.
It's a lot of people.
A lot of people. And, yeah, anyway.
That's great. That's awesome.
We had a great day.
And good time to get married because then you went into COVID lockdown and so
we had no idea that was coming. It would have been so hard if we'd waited. Yeah, it was just the right time.
Totally.
That's God fantastic. Was amazing. God did it.
And that's, again, lean not on your own understanding. Oh. It's all in his timing. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
But the thing about it was that I had total peace. That this was God's doing.
Yes.
And that this was what God planned. And that this was fine. This was like any other relationship, well, friendship that I'd had through the years or, you know, any other possibilities, I had no peace about it. I thought, no, not interested. No. It just wasn't right. But
you just knew there wasn't.
But this one absolutely was. So
that's fantastic.
And that's, I think, you have to know that from the Lord because
– and it's only the Lord that can give that to you.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us fall into the trap of going, Lord, I want your wisdom, and we pray for wisdom, and then we go and speak to all these people and try and gather the wisdom quickly and in our own time.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, just wait on the Lord. He will give you the wisdom. He'll give you the peace. He'll give you the direction. That's great.
That's right.
Before we wrap up, I just thought maybe – I know I had a mum reach out and was asking a question in well, I guess it's a twofold question. So how do you think are some of the best ways we can support our friends that are single, our family and friends that are single? And in particular, a mum asked along the lines of, you know, she has one daughter that wants to get married and one that is single and is decided to be single. You know, how best to support, I guess, those two versions of what we might find out there in singleness.
Mm. I think don't leave singles out.
Hmm.
If you're having, say, folks to your house and you're inviting a couple or two, maybe invite two singles.
Yeah, I need to do that. Yep, that's good.
But from my experience, I didn't feel that comfortable spending much time with marrieds, especially my own age.
Yep.
I think you have to be careful as singles just to know that, you know, they're a couple, they're married, they're, you know, don't rock the boat in any way.
Yes. Yeah,
Because every so often you hear a terrible story about married people who, and these are Christians, and he gets attracted to her. I mean, this has happened in a couple of, like, I know people where this has happened to. And, you know, before you know, if they've gone off together.
Yes. And so putting boundaries in place.
Yeah. So there has to be that understanding that, but you can be in the Lord, you can have lovely friendships.
Yes.
Married or single.
Yes.
But I think, you know, as I look at our church, there's heaps and heaps of singles, people who have been divorced, widows, as well as the never married.
Yes.
But there's a lot more single people who are widows and who are divorcees.
Mm-hmm. It's huge, yeah.
I think it's up to us as singles often, you know, if we can do things together.
Yeah, support one another.
Support one another. You know, have a games evening, meet for coffee, invite one another to our homes. I think that's very helpful. But I you need to be able to, we are one body, and so we have to be able to connect.
So it is good for the married couples to, even just checking up from what I'm hearing, you know, including them.
Yeah.
Is a big part.
Inclusion is a big part, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you think, how best to support someone that's, you know, maybe deciding to be single and like communicating that to the church? Have you come across that at all? Not really.
I haven't ever met a person who has decided that they're going
that
to be single.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, because I was telling you before, I'm doing an interview with someone in a few weeks' time who has same-sex attraction and has decided to remain single for the Lord for that reason, not to act upon that attraction. So I'm sure I'll navigate that soon in a few weeks' time. But yeah.
There was a man, he was a minister actually, and a widely used man of God, and he stayed single, I think, because he felt that his ministry – he was more free to give more time to the ministry.
Which is what, you know, Paul talks about, right? Yeah,
that's right.
Yes, that gift of being able to do more for the Lord when we're single.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think it can be very hard as a single person. I remember one time at our church, actually, I overheard two women talking. They were married.
Mm-hmm.
They were both married. and one said to the other, look, there has to be something wrong with a person if she, you know, if she gets to 40 and she's not married. I thought, oh, so there's something wrong with me. Well, Lord, you know about that.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, that's most unfortunate if that's what people think.
Yes.
But sometimes they do, obviously.
And that's the wrong thinking.
But one of the greatest compliments, I suppose it was a compliment, but then I don't know, what was it?
An underhanded compliment?
I was probably in my mid-30s at this stage, and I was this young couple came from the States, and they were staying in my home because it had extra rooms.
Yep.
And they were about to go back. They'd stayed probably 2 months to go back, and this lady said, you seem so normal. She said, it's almost like you're married.
Oh, wow.
That's why I say, was it a compliment? I'm not sure. But I think she saw that I was content.
You're content. That's right.
And I think contentment is the key. Paul said in another context, I've learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content.
Mm.
And godliness with contentment is great gain. That's another one. So, as singles, I believe we should be just who we are in Christ.
Mm.
We're not singles. That's not how we're defined.
No.
We are children of the King. We're a child of God. That should define us, not as a single or a married person. So we are complete, whoever we are, in Him. That's another scripture. So I think we have to be ready to minister as singles in our church or in our families, wherever it is, whatever God gives us to do in line with our gifts, he will just provide for us.
That's great.
But I think contentment is part of the key.
Yeah, contentment with godliness, you're saying. Yeah, that's great. Well, Anne, that was really beautiful. Thank you. Did you want to add anything else or...?
I think we've covered a lot, actually.
We have covered a lot of ground today. I have actually so many more questions because I'm like, oh, I'd love to hear about what you did in Africa and how that was and whatever else. But look, thank you so much, Anne, for being here and doing this. And thank you so much for everyone that's listening. And if you're still continuing to listen, thank you. If you liked this episode, we would love for you to share it with your friends and your family so they may bless and encourage those that it may impact, because it's not just for people that are single, it's for people that are not single, and how we can support people and yeah, just love them through whatever season they're going through. So there's lots of pearls of wisdom in this. So share it, like it. If you're listening, no matter what platform you're listening to, hit subscribe, or if you could leave us a review, that's actually a huge, phenomenal blessing, because that can get us out past the algorithm and into more ears. But thank you for joining us, and we'll speak to you soon.